This reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47 from the NIV version. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for all that it says. We ask that as we look at this passage from Acts 2 now, that you would speak to us and that we would hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the last few weeks we've been thinking about Pentecost. We've travelled through Acts chapter 2, looking at the events of that first Pentecost and then listening and looking at the sermon from Peter. Well, we're finally at the last part of Acts chapter 2 today. And we're going to think today about the first description of a Holy Spirit-filled church, a church empowered, equipped, filled by the Holy Spirit, a church which suddenly found itself with 3,000 new members. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be slightly daunting as well, I have to say? When I first looked at this passage, I have to admit that I was a bit wary. I thought, how can we think about fellowship and the church when we're unable to meet physically? But actually, there's so much in this passage that I believe can help us at this time. Someone sent me a quote earlier this week, and it was a quote they heard on the radio, and it was in a conversation about churches doing online services. And this is what the quote said. It's made me realise we're not unchristian as a nation. We just don't know how to do it. It's an interesting quote, isn't it? I'm not quite sure what I think about it. I'm not sure what's true, what's not. But that sense of not knowing how to do church is something that maybe does ring true a bit. The way that media have described the church as being closed during this period is one example, because we know that is far from the truth. The buildings might be closed, but the church is far from it. But maybe in this season, when our buildings are closed, we can think differently about what the church really is, what church should look like, how church should operate, and so on. So what does or what could a Holy Spirit-filled church look like in 2020? For example, what if we did have 3,000 new members? What would we want each person to know about what it means to be part of a Spirit-filled church? How do we do it, as that statement from that radio programme said? Well, the first thing to highlight from this passage is that as we look at this church, all the people are described as being devoted. They're devoting themselves, if you like. They give their all to something. They are full of love for. They're not half-hearted. I can't help but think of that song, cheesy as it might be, hopelessly devoted to you. And I wonder how that challenges us today in 2020. Are we devoted? Are you devoted? The early church had just been through this incredible explosion of the church. They had seen the Holy Spirit at work in incredible ways. In some ways, no wonder they were devoted in the ways they were. Maybe we've lost a bit of that first love, as it says in Revelation. Well, this passage reminds us of the ways that we can be devoted, ways that in some ways will help us be devoted as well. And I want to bring four things out from this passage. I want to think about how a Spirit-filled church is devoted in these ways. So the first thing to say is that a Spirit-filled church is devoted to the word, or as it says in Acts, to the apostles' teaching. If we think about it, suddenly they found themselves with 3,000 new people added to their number. One writer says it must have been like the apostles suddenly setting up a school for 3,000 people to attend kindergarten. It's that sort of thing. And of course, if we think about it, the apostles were teaching the words of Jesus inspired by the Holy Spirit. And those words are what has provided much of the New Testament today. So when we think about being devoted to the word, we're thinking about being devoted to the teaching of the New Testament, to scripture, the word of God. That is the apostles' teaching. You also notice that in this passage, the apostles, as well as their teaching, they were performing signs and wonders. It wasn't one or the other. It was both. Both taught something about who God is. We thought about that a couple of weeks ago. John Stott, that famous author and preacher, says this: the Spirit of God leads the people to the Word of God. The Spirit of God leads the people to the Word of God. We need both. And when we think about that today, we're still called to be devoted to the Word of God. But we also will still see signs and wonders. If you're in doubt, have a listen or watch of Karen Robinson's Thought for the Day from last Friday, which has a testimony of healing in it. So how are you devoted to God's word? How are you reading it? I'm reading through the whole Bible at the moment alongside a bunch of church leaders, which gives me people to check up that I'm doing it. And I'm finding it fascinating to do. Each day I feel like I'm becoming a little bit more devoted as I read. What about joining a Roots group if you're not in one already? And is there a better time to join one? You can join one from the safety and the comfort of your own living room if you want to. There's also, of course, lots of material online through our services and Thoughts of the Day. There's other stuff out there as well. And if you want any advice on any of that, do chat to us. If you're not sure about content, you know, do talk to us, because we do need to watch what we watch. But of course, how are you reading the Bible on your own as well? Because that is important. And if you're not sure how to do that, there's lots of material out there to help you. Please do contact us and we can give you some advice there. A Spirit-filled church is devoted to the Word. Secondly, a Spirit-filled church is devoted to one another. The word that we have in this passage is actually koinonia, which is often translated as fellowship as we have it here. Interestingly, at Hayfield Cross, the Church of England school I'm chaplain of, when we were thinking about our Christian school values, we decided to choose fellowship as one of our values. And we nearly went with koinonia because it actually says more, but it needs a bit more unpacking as well. Because the meaning of this word koinonia is so much more than just fellowship. It comes from the Greek word for common, like common life. And it can be translated as sharing or participation or contribution. It's about sharing community, giving and receiving practically. And it, of course, is seen acted out so beautifully in this Spirit-filled church. I sometimes find the word fellowship a little bit too churchy. Maybe you're the same as me. And sometimes when I hear that word, my mind is taken to turquoise china cups and quiche. That might just be me, of course. But when we look at it in the light of these verses in Acts 2, fellowship is alive, it's active, and it is beautiful. The fact is that if you are a Christian, then you have fellowship, koinonia, with others. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." How do we see koinonia played out, therefore, in these verses in Acts 2? Well, we read this: "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." I don't know about you, but I find those verses really challenging. It's saying that being part of the koinonia means caring for the poor and the needy, for those who are lonely, those who are isolated. I've been reading through, as you know, the Old Testament at the moment, and I've just got through, or about to get through, Leviticus. And in there, there's this striking importance of caring for those in need, for caring for those from other countries as well. It's important that we care for each other, whoever we are, wherever we are from as well. That is being part of the koinonia, the fellowship, one another. They're also challenging verses because it seems that these early Christians sold everything they had to give to those in need. And it might make us question. It might say, make us ask, well, does that mean we have to do that? Well, let me just say that there's no sense that this was compulsory. They did it out of love, out of devotion. So having things wasn't forbidden. You know, later on, they ate in their homes, it says. So some still had homes, for example. And they were coming at it, of course, from a concept that wasn't necessarily new, because Jesus and his disciples shared a common purse. But it was still hard to do. Later on, we discover that in later chapters of Acts, because it only works when everyone is together in it, when there's a sense of unity by the Spirit. Because as soon as there is anything difficult or any tension, there can be complications with it. The fact is that the meaning of koinonia is about generosity, of ourselves, of our time, of our possessions. The word is used again in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Have a look at those passages. But today we are called to generosity as part of being part of this koinonia. And of course it will look different for each one of us. In the last few months I've heard and seen of some incredible gifts of generosity. In Love in Action, we can't give enough away because every time we do, more comes in. It's incredible. How will you show this? This Spirit-filled church sold property and possessions and gave it to everyone in need. And although for a lot of us that might not be possible, how much do we hold on to possessions that we don't need? Maybe this time is teaching us something about that. It makes me sad that as soon as the shops that aren't necessary shops have opened, there have been images of people queuing just to get into some of those stores. When I went off to theological college, I had to move my whole house into my parents' house and live in a room for 2 years. And when I moved into my first house when I was a curate in Leicester, I unpacked all these boxes and I remembered the stuff I had and I hadn't missed any of it. We have so much, don't we? Now, of course, there is no doubt that this will look different in 2020 because we are in a different time. But how can we be devoted to one another this week? I'm not suggesting you go and sell your house or all your possessions, but how about sharing your spiritual gifts or encouraging someone this week? How about serving someone else or sharing something of the good things God has given you as a generous God? Be generous back. But of course, these verses are also difficult because we're not physically together. Some of us are lonely and isolated at the moment, and maybe hearing these words hurts. For some people, of course, this isn't just a reality for this season, but a reality at all times because of our own personal situations. Let's not forget that when we come out of lockdown. Let's not forget those who remain behind closed doors. They are just as much a part of our koinonia. But of course, this passage is not just about one another and being together physically. It's about our relationship together with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think of the words of the grace, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we say. We are in fellowship together with our God, who is three in one. And it's really important when we think of being the Spirit-filled church in 2020, that we think about the fact that we have fellowship with one another wherever we are, because we have fellowship, koinonia, with the Trinity. Fellowship, being devoted to one another, looks very different at the moment. But let's keep doing it. Let's keep being devoted to one another. Thirdly, a Spirit-filled church is devoted to worship. This koinonia was also seen in worshipping together. You can't have one without the other, can you? You need to care for one another and worship together. And I know for a fact that some people are finding it really hard to worship with an online service. And others who are able to access services in ways that they haven't been able to for a while, for all sorts of reasons. Personally, I know that I cannot wait to worship in song with everyone else. I cannot wait to celebrate a communion and share it with you all. But what does this passage tell us about this church's devotion to worship? Well, it shows us that it was about all of their lives for a start. Every day they met together in the temple courts, but they also met in their homes. They prayed, they devoted themselves to prayer, actually. I wonder what that might look like for us. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now, it's worth explaining a little bit more about what it might have meant to break bread. Through the apostles' teaching, these early Christians would have known that Jesus had taught them to remember him at a meal. But it's more than just eating together, because as they broke the bread, they remembered all that Jesus had done for them. Now, they may have done something a bit more formal at times, as we do, but this was part of a regular pattern of their lives. And maybe that's a challenge for us as well. So, for example, as you have your lunch today, whether you sit down with your household or you're on your own, recall what Jesus has done. Break bread or whatever you're eating and thank Jesus for his sacrifice. You could actually do it whenever you eat. When you say grace before your meal, remind yourselves of Jesus. Now, of course, that can be a challenge for those of us, particularly on our own. So I'm going to make a concerted effort to do that in these coming weeks. Maybe you can hold me accountable to that and I can do the same for you. This is all part of our worship. We're also told about their worship that they worshipped with joyful and sincere hearts. Joy, of course, a fruit of the Spirit. I had a friend who was in a church where he went and took his guitar and played a worship song in the service. And at the end of the service, someone came up to him and said, "Thank you, Vicar, that was a lovely service. But when you played the guitar, I wanted to just say to you that the church is no place for joy." My heart sank when I heard that. Because of course the church is a place for joy. Every day, or most days, I use some words from the Celtic Daily Prayer from Northumbria. They say this: "May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors." Let's be devoted to worship, whatever that might look like at this time. Finally, a Spirit-filled church is devoted to witness. In other words, they didn't keep Jesus to themselves. The Lord added to their number every day. They saw it daily, maybe because they were witnessing daily. Well, we know that because we're told that they enjoyed the favour of all the people. Or as the message puts it, people in general liked what they saw. I wonder, do people like what they see in us, in you? Remember also, though, that it was the Lord who did it. They didn't have specialist evangelists. They weren't leaving it to a few people, although there will have been those who had spiritual gifts in evangelism. But through all of them, the Lord added to their number daily. And I wonder how much of that was down to their devotion to Jesus. Wouldn't that be amazing if the Lord added to our number every day? Now, of course, he is across the world. But what if that were the case here at Christ the King, here in Kettering? I believe there is a call for all of us, whoever we are, to become more devoted to God and to one another, to worship, to the word, to witness. Because after all, God is totally devoted to you. He is completely devoted to you. So let's be devoted to him and his people. Amen.